KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Hey, it's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our weather forecast for today is calling for partly cloudy skies with scattered showers and thunderstorms, a high of 88, and as Sarah just mentioned, it's 72 degrees. The news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. Police in Council Bluffs Monday identified the three persons who were injured in a semi-tractor trailer rollover accident Sunday morning. Authorities say the driver, 38-year-old Anatoly Zavadetsky, and his passengers, 31-year-old Karen Sargent and 49-year-old Dimitri Leonte, all of Portland, Oregon, suffered non-life-threatening injuries and were transported to the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha for treatment. The accident happened at around 7:44 a.m. Sunday on the westbound I-80 off-ramp to the South Expressway in Council Bluffs. Police and fire crews worked to block the roadway and extract the victims from the wreckage. The westbound exit from I-80 to South Expressway was closed for several hours until the debris could be cleared. The accident remains under investigation. A man from Ringgold County died Sunday when the motorcycle he was riding went out of control and crashed. The Union County Sheriff's Office said 77-year-old Paul Eugene McKinney of Mount Air died at the scene. McKinney was riding a 2017 Harley-Davidson trike southbound on Highway 169 at around 6:45 p.m. when, near the intersection with 165th Street, the cycle began to veer to the right for some reason. The trike crossed the shoulder of the road and entered the west ditch, where it continued until striking a 6-inch diameter evergreen tree and a barbed wire fence, and then went into a hayfield and came to rest on its side. The trike was totaled in the crash. Damage to the fence owned by Jerry Abel was estimated at $500. That accident remained under investigation. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday 30-year-old Jacob William Earl Doffner of Griswold was arrested last Thursday on a charge of OWI second offense. Doffner was taken to the Cass County Jail and then released Friday on his own recognizance. Sheriff's Office said also a Nebraska man was cited following a non-injury accident last Friday afternoon. Deputies responded to the scene at Marnie and Glacier Roads at around 12:25 p.m. Their investigation determined the 2000 Freightliner, driven by 23-year-old Alexander Brady Smith of Atlantic, was making a right turn onto Glacier Road when the vehicle was struck in the rear passenger side by a 2005 Chevy Silverado pickup. The pickup was driven by 37-year-old Jeremy Spencer Hahn of Blair, Nebraska. No damage was reported to the semi, but the Chevy sustained about $1,500 damage, and Hahn was cited for following too closely. A reminder for you, KJAN will have patriotic music for you to enjoy this evening from 8 until midnight. So as you're out and about enjoying your Independence Day celebrations and area fireworks displays, tune in to AM 1220 or FM 101.1 for some accompanying patriotic music. The Glenwood Police Department said yesterday residents in a 4-square block area of a major gas line leak were allowed to return to their homes late Monday morning. Authorities said just before noon Monday that crews with Black Hills Energy were able to stop the leak that was reported at around 9 a.m. after a construction crew had struck a natural gas line in the area of 3rd and Elm Streets in Glenwood. Law enforcement and Glenwood Fire and Rescue personnel assisted in evacuating residents from their homes and sheltering them at the Grace United Methodist Church. As a safety precaution, residents had been asked to leave the area on foot and not by motor vehicle for fear that could spark an explosion. They even posted a warning on social media for people to, quote, quit shooting fireworks while a major gas leak is going on. Should be self-explanatory, but according to reports, the gas leak could be heard and smelled from several blocks away. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Monday released a report on recent arrests. A traffic stop around 12:10 a.m. on Monday near Macedonia resulted in the arrest of 37-year-old Joseph Thurlew Abrams of Thurman. Abrams was taken into custody on a warrant for contempt of court. Sunday afternoon, 40-year-old Christine Ann Hall of Oakland was arrested at the Oakland Cemetery after she stopped there to meet with a man. Hall was taken into custody on a nationwide warrant for violation of probation on a child endangerment charge. The warrant carries a $10,000 cash-only bond. Early Sunday morning, 56-year-old Randall Eugene Huey of Council Bluffs was arrested on a warrant out of Council Bluffs for fifth-degree theft. He was taken into custody after a Pott County Sheriff's deputy on routine patrol in an area known for illegal dumping and theft noticed personal property and a trail of downed grass. He found Huey and a woman asleep in a tent. Also arrested Sunday morning was 31-year-old Ricardo Garcia Vasquez of Omaha. He was taken into custody on a warrant out of Omaha for failure to appear on drug charges. The arrest followed an investigation into a suspicious vehicle that was stuck at the end of a dead-end road. At around 3 a.m. Saturday, Pott County deputies arrested 31-year-old Joshua Langer of Valley, Nebraska for OWI first offense. And about 90 minutes later, 31-year-old Ross Doble of Council Bluffs was arrested for OWI first offense following a traffic stop for speeding. Friday afternoon, 37-year-old Justin Collier of Council Bluffs was arrested on a Pottawatomie County warrant for probation violation. Collier was taken into custody after he turned himself in to the sheriff's office on a warrant. And 65-year-old Ruth Walden of Council Bluffs was arrested Friday afternoon after she also turned herself in on a Pott County warrant, and that was for child endangerment causing bodily injury. A new report on the state's finances seems to indicate that Governor Kim Reynolds will not only will be forced to dip into savings, but that she may have to call legislators back this fall to balance the state budget. The last state fiscal year ended Friday, June 30th. A Legislative Services Agency report indicates state tax collections during the past 12 months were below expectations by more than $104 million. The state budget was based on the higher projections, so steps must be taken now to ensure the budget winds up in the black this fall when the books are formally closed on the fiscal year 2017. Jeff Robinson, a senior financial analyst or fiscal analyst with the Legislative Services Agency, says the state did collect more taxes in June.
But it wasn't as positive as needed to keep up with the estimate.
The Iowa governors have the authority to transfer up to $50 million from the state's economic emergency fund to cover a deficit. Some payments due the state during the just concluded fiscal year have not yet been made, and there is a possibility some agencies have unspent funds that will boost the bottom line as well. However, if the deficit is larger than $50 million when all the calculations are completed in September, the governor will be forced to call the legislature back into a special session to withdraw more money from reserve accounts to put the budget in the black. The state constitution requires a balanced state budget. State tax projections were way off because sales tax payments were significantly lower than expected. Robinson said the state did see growth in corporate income taxes as well as personal income tax payments to the state.
But sales tax was essentially flat year over year. We got $1.7 million worth of sales tax growth over those 12 months. So that was a surprise, and that caused the shortfall this year.
Democrats in the legislature say the Branstad administration intentionally underestimated a new sales tax break for manufacturers, and that's what caused the problems. A spokeswoman for Governor Reynolds was not immediately available for comment on that. The governor's budget chief confirms the state has a budget dilemma for the fiscal year that ended Friday, June 30th. Iowa Department of Management Director Dave Roederer. Calculations indicate that the state's cash receipts for the past 12 months fell $76 million below projections. The state budget was based on those projections. The books on the fiscal year, as we mentioned, won't be officially closed until September, so some taxes that were due before last Friday may be paid, plus some state agencies may have unspent funds.
So there's still a lot of checking that needs to be done before we won't know for certain how the fiscal year has ended.
Roederer says Governor Reynolds could very well be able to manage the problem on her own and not have to dip into any more funds. If the budget deficit winds up being larger than $50 million, she'll have to call the legislature back into a special session, as I mentioned before. Well, the state law that allowed someone to sign a lifetime ban for gambling changed July the 1st to give people the option of also signing a five-year ban. Anyone who signs the ban is prevented from entering the gaming floor at an Iowa casino. Iowa Lottery spokesperson Mary Neubauer says they sell lottery tickets at thousands of retailers across the state, so they had to take a different approach to the ban.
Obviously, we can't ban folks from going to a convenience store or from a grocery store because they have other business that they need to be doing in those locations. So the way we came at the motivation to play was to have folks who sign our self-exclusion agreement to ban themselves from lottery offices around the state.
Neubauer says keeping them out of the Iowa lottery offices ensures that they can't chase big jackpots.
Any lottery prize of more than $600 in Iowa has to be claimed at a lottery office. So in the process of banning yourself from a lottery office, you are preventing yourself from ever being able to claim a big lottery prize.
It's believed the change to allow for the five-year ban option may encourage more people who see they have a problem to sign up.
What we're all trying to do is give someone who's trying to deal with with the issue of compulsive gambling more tools that they can use to try to make a healthy recovery from the difficulty that that has caused in their life.
She says the ban itself won't help people if people don't follow through and get some help for their problem. That's why there's also they want to ensure that people know how to get that help.
When folks come in to sign up for a self-exclusion, either from a casino or from the lottery, we are working with the Department of Public Health to develop a brochure that we will give to every person who would be asking to enter into a self-exclusion with us so that we're sure they're getting information about 1-800-BETS-OFF and the gambling treatment program and the help that you can get all across Iowa.
She says you'll have to fill out the proper paperwork to get your name off the exclusion list and then wait to get a confirmation it's been processed if you think your problem has been taken care of. You can contact the Iowa Lottery or Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission to find out more about the changes to the gambling ban. Our news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.